Hey, don't forget, if you see General Aviation News happen or a General Aviation News story you think we should be aware of, send it to us by email, newstips@avweb.com. Welcome into our audiocast for this Friday, February 8th, 2008, from AvWeb, the General Aviation News Service and Magazine, brought to you today by Aviation Safety. Election years are strange and perilous times for industries like aviation that has potentially game-changing legislation pending in Congress. And the Bush administration's decision to recycle its general aviation user fee proposal this week as part of the 2009 budget has put aviation groups on high alert. AOPA's Andy Cibula took AvWeb's Russ Niles through that political minefield this week.
Talking with Andy Cibula, he's AOPA's government affairs expert. And if ever we needed an expert, it's now. Andy, what the heck is the administration doing?
Well, you know, we kind of find ourselves asking the same question for reasons, I guess, that I'm not sure I can totally understand or attempt to explain. They've taken last year's proposal for user fees on users of the aviation system, as well as a 50-cent per gallon increase on the fuel tax that General Aviation pays, and they've once again served up what I would call leftovers that have been rejected by the House, rejected by the Senate Finance Committee, and that has really just fostered a lot of opposition in Congress.
Okay, well, we need to backtrack a little bit here, too. The FAA is actually operating on an extension because this form of budget went nowhere last year. So where does the FAA stand in terms of its money coming in right now?
Well, the way they stand for the fiscal year 08, which is the fiscal year that the federal government runs, is in, and that runs from the beginning of October through the end of September. Right now, the FAA is on a very short-term extension of the taxes that support the aviation system, and there is also a funding element, of course, to modernize the air traffic control system, to finance the daily operations of the FAA, and then, of course, to develop and improve airports. Now, the money for developing and improving airports is actually not, the FAA can't spend it at the moment, so it gets really complicated, but it was really designed to try to reach a long-term agreement on how to finance the FAA and then what the actual spending amounts would be over the next 4 years. And so right now we have a bill in the House of Representatives that's passed, it's H.R. 2881. That legislation increases the tax on general aviation fuel, avgas, and jet fuel, but it does not contain user fees. And actually, most of us in the general aviation community have rallied around that bill, and we'd like to see it passed into law. In the Senate, we have really two competing approaches to paying for the FAA. The Senate Commerce Committee has approved a $25 user fee, and then the Senate Finance Committee has approved legislation that would fund the FAA through taxes. And so what has to happen is the Commerce Committee and the Finance Committee have to come to some kind of an agreement so that the Senate can actually have a vote. Now, until that happens, we're kind of stuck in this impasse where we have the House that's acted, but we're still waiting on the Senate to act.
So what could possibly be on the president's mind and on Bobby Sturgill's mind in just retreading the same old issue? Like, what is the point in them doing this?
Well, I'm not sure that I could get inside their head, but I could tell you that the administration has never backed off from the idea of going from a tax-based system of paying for the FAA to one that incorporates user fees. They have never backed off from that as their goal. The Secretary of Transportation, Secretary Peters, has, ever since she's really come into office, so during this past year, even though it was really apparent to those of us in the general aviation community that they had lost, at least on the big front, she continued to promote their budget. And for them, I guess they're just not going to change the playbook on what they want to put in front of Congress. So in essence, really, their budget is pretty much dead on arrival. One of the things that that we really have had difficulty understanding is why Secretary Peters has, at this point, she has continued to push for user fees, and she's done that all during the year. But not only are they pushing for this change in the way that the FAA is financed, but they're also looking to cut the money that the federal government is investing in airports, and they're looking to do that by $1 billion. So that's about a third cut of what the amount of money that is normally invested, which is about $3.7 billion. They want to make it $2.7 billion. And that seems crazy when you look at the robust general aviation community that and the flights that, that general aviation is performing, on top of course, the airlines and the congestion issues that they've had. It's very difficult to understand why they would be proposing cutting back that investment.
It's long been said that the real issue with delays and congestion is in the amount of concrete that's available. Where do you think those cuts are going to come to bear?
Well, you know, I'm going to sound a little bit like a policy wonk when I talk like this, but quite frankly, when the administration puts a budget forward that cuts the investment in airport improvement funds, it's really nothing more than a budget gimmick. Because what they're doing is they know that Congress wants to have investments made in airports across the country. Because just like you just said, we need investments in concrete, whether it's at an air carrier airport or whether it's at a general aviation airport, it's absolutely critical. And so the administration knows that. So what they'll do is they'll push, this is very common for them to do this, they'll put a budget out, it will cut, it will recommend cuts in airport improvement funding, and then they force the Congress to have to make the tough choices about priorities. And so what it does is it'll put pressure for those congressional decisions on how much they want to invest in air traffic control modernization and how much they want to invest in the operations of the air traffic control system, and the safety functions at FAA, and in things like safety education. So what it does is it'll set up a lot of tension and competition between the various programs that the FAA has in their budget.
Okay, we've got a government on its last legs, you know, 9 months left in its mandate. What is the posture of AOPA and the other groups in fighting this budget? Is some of the pressure off, or do you have to stay as vigilant as you have been?
Well, I can tell you that you never want to look away. You always look at anything can happen in politics, so you never want to underestimate your opponent, in this case being the administration, and really to a greater extent as well, the airlines. We need to get a bill passed. We really need to get a long-term FAA bill passed. We need it passed so that we don't have this sword hanging over our head about the prospect of user fees, about the prospect of a real large tax increase. And in election years, odd things can happen, and they can happen very, very quickly. So if I were going to recommend anything to the general aviation community right now as I look ahead in this political year, we need vigilance. We need vigilance, and then at some point during the year, my hope and the expectation is that we're going to have an opportunity to get a long-term bill passed. That's what we're working towards.
Okay, well, we'll watch it with interest. As always, pleasure talking to you.
Well, thanks a lot.
AOPA's Andy Sabula. Comments on this audiocast, welcome audio news at avweb.com. And today's report was brought to you by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. You can check them out at www.aviationsafetymagazine.com. Mike Blakeney reporting for Avweb Audio. Thanks so much for listening.